He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
No real clue what that song is, but welcome to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show nonetheless. My name is Ian Laird. Once again, you can reach us at 95.9 FM on your radio dials or kgvm.org on the interwebs. My Twitter page is at IanLaird3 as well. As always, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill with countless TVs and specials. You can get all catch all the big games, including the PGA playoffs, located in 19 Tyne Lane by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That's Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. Lots to cover today, including Legion Baseball playoffs started last week and go into this week as well. We'll preview the Cats' schedule, break down which games I think they'll win and lose. Doesn't really matter what I think, but we'll do it anyways. Fall camp starts this weekend around the Valley as well. We'll take a look back at last year if we have time for all of the high school. If we don't, we'll do it next week. Belgrade, the big story, moving up to AA next year. We'll kind of take a look at their schedule and see what they're going to have to do to be in it and how they're going to do overall next year. Might be a rough year for them, their first year in AA, but we'll see. Hopefully not too horribly bad for them. But first, as always, we'll take a look quickly at national news, the NBA shoe news. The endorsement agreement was aligning the number one pick, New Orleans Pelicans' Zion Williamson, and Jordan Brand's extended 5 years to becoming the richest annual rookie shoe deal in NBA history, sources are telling ESPN. Now, with that shoe deal, the big thing that you kind of have to realize about it is it's 10 years, $10 million, over $10 million a year is what it's being reported as. That's a lot of money for a player that was injured in the very first preseason game and didn't play for the rest of it. Sure, they're going to hold him back a little bit and make sure he doesn't get hurt, but that is a lot of money. It breaks a record. William announced his partnership Tuesday on his social media platform. The competition to sign Williamson, the National Player of the Year and Freshman of the Year at Duke, was intense. Before Williamson committed to the Jordan Brand, several shoe competitors made offers on total deals that extended well into the nine-figure range. So congrats to Nico Harrison and Nike. Sure, it's not a Nike deal, but Jordan Brands is a spinoff of Nike or a subsidiary of them. So congratulations to Nico Harrison for getting that done. We had him on the show a couple months ago, and that's basically what he talked about was, hey, my job is to make sure we sign players like that. So they got that done. Good for him. MSU alum there representing Zion Williamson and his shoe deal, which is gigantic. And again, hopefully he can stay healthy. He hasn't so far early on. He bumped his knee, but again, I think they were taking precautionary measures. But at the same time, you got to look at that as kind of what's going to happen here. Can he stay healthy through an entire NBA season? It's a lot more games, a lot more pressure. You're not going against sophomores and juniors that aren't even going to get drafted in the NBA. You're going against NBA veterans and really, really good ones. So, and he's in the West, so he's going to face LeBron and a lot of those a lot. So we'll see how Williamson does, but congratulations to him and all that huge money. Moving on to PGA news. At the British Open last week, Irishman Sean Lowry ran away with the tournament, really, shooting 15 under. Tommy Fleetwood, the British golfer, finished second at 9 under, but he shot 3 over in the last day, and Lowry just ran away with it. Played great. A lot of Tiger missed the cut. Rory missed the cut. A lot of those players missed the cut last week. But Lowry had no issues. He's from Ireland, so he kind of knows those courses over there and obviously knows how to play them. This is his first major win for Lowry and vaults him into 17th in the FedEx Cup points. Going on at the same time last week in the States, Nick Taylor finished 15th at the Barbasol Championship, earning him a cool $58,000. Not as much as the big money majors victories would be or placing in one of those, but still, 58 grand, not bad for 4 days or 5 days worth of work. That top 20 finish also moved Taylor into the top 110 in FedEx Cup points, almost assuring him that he will make the playoffs and keep his card for another year. Nick is taking this week off before competing in the final event before the playoffs, the Wyndham Championship, which is coming up next weekend. A lot of players are playing in the WGC World Golf Championships that I believe are in Memphis, somewhere down there. They're in the United States this time. The Open was the last major, so you've got next this week if the WGC, which it's only World Golf Rankings go to that. You've got the Barracuda that's going on. It's kind of like the Barbasol was last week. Nick's taking that off. A lot of players that need those points will be playing in that tournament, but a lot of them that are assured are going to take the week off, then hit it hard and hopefully show well at the Wyndham going into the three-tournament playoff that the FedEx Cup has set up. Again, only the top 125 golfers or in the FedEx Cup points keep their card for the next year. If you are below that, at the same time, these other teams or these other players are playing in these tournaments in the playoffs for the FedEx. A lot of those other golfers then have to go back to the Web.com Championships, which is a three tournament, I believe, maybe two tournament schedule or whatever it might be. And you need to finish in the top 50, I think, or 40 of that to then get your card again. So it's a lot of pressure put on these players if they're not in that 125. Nick Taylor, last year we talked about it. He came into the Wyndham and he was below the 125. He needed a huge day at the Wyndham in the last tournament of the year. He ended up shooting a 62 and squeaking in to keep his card. So that's how tight a lot of these things are. They come down to that last one. So you look back and say, well, you know, he missed a cut. No big deal. Those missing cuts and not getting those points are huge to a lot of these golfers that aren't named Woods or DeChambeau. Or a lot of those other ones, your Jordan Spieths and Mickelsons and all those. So if you're one of those lower-end golfers, not lower-end, but on the PGA Tour, if you're not one of the top names and you haven't won in a while, every point counts, and these tournaments are huge. It's a lot of golf. I think before this, there was 9 or 10 weeks in a row that a lot of these players were playing, not going home at any point in that. If you made the cut, which you want to because you need those points, you're playing through Sunday, and then you leave Sunday night, if not Monday morning, you go straight to the tournament. There's normally a pro-am that they play Wednesday. You get Tuesday to practice. Wednesday's the pro-am, and then Thursday through Sunday is the tournament. So that's a lot of golf, a lot of pressure. I played 36 holes once in a day, and I couldn't walk for a week. So I am definitely not built for that. Moving on to NFL news, the training camp kicks off this week. I think it started yesterday for some of the teams across the NFL. So look for all the holdouts and the stories to begin coming up this week. I know there's already a wide receiver, Thomas, I believe, for the New Orleans Saints is holding out or didn't show up to camp. It hasn't been announced why. The Gordon, I believe, is his name, the running back for the L.A. Chargers, almost said San Diego Chargers. He's holding out because he wants a big contract, and he basically said, I'll sit out for a year. You look at it as selfish, but it came out Adrian Peterson owes $6 million to different vendors or whatever it might be. And he basically said, I don't have the money. I made bad business deals. I trusted the wrong people, and I'm flat broke. And Adrian Peterson gets paid millions and millions for many years, but it's over now. And he's only 30, 31 years old, and all of a sudden his career's done. What is he going to do for the rest of it? So I get why these players are saying, hey, if you're making billions a year off of this, off of me clanging and banging in there, and as a running back, I'm only going to get maybe 4 or 5 good years of true play, of at my top play. Some of them last longer, but we talked about it last week. Running back, you're getting hit every time, whether you're holding the ball or not, because if you're not, you're blocking. Or you're blocking outside, or you're doing a swing pass and you're getting blindsided by a linebacker as you catch it. There's a lot of contact, I think, with running backs. Offensive linemen are probably the second offensive defensive lineman, because every play they're hitting each other. But running back is another one, but it's almost every play you're getting hit. Rarely do you just, like the quarterback where you hand it off and you're going to walk off to the side, or you throw the pass and you don't get hit. Running backs are tough, and so they kind of deserve that money, but because they're hit so much, they break down, and a lot of these teams don't want to pay them that much. And I get that as well. Why would you want to pay a player that much money if he's going to be hurt 4 years later and he wants a 10-year deal? So I get both sides of it. It is a bummer, but hopefully they can get that worked out and everything else. The big news, of course, came out a couple months ago that Hard Knocks is going to be filming for the Oakland Raiders, one of their last years before they moved to Vegas. Jim, I think, is the coach for the Redskins. John Gruden's the one for the Oakland Raiders. I'm losing my mind. It's hot in here. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. There's a lot of stories there. He brought in a lot of interesting personalities, which is great. That's exactly what Hard Knocks wants. Adrian Brown is there and a bunch of other ones. So we'll see how that plays out. But that should be really, really good TV. That's on HBO. They've been doing it for years, and it's great. But it'll also be interesting to see here in the beginning, how do these quarterbacks that were drafted in the top six to eight players, how do they cope with a new team? I mean, you look at the Arizona Cardinals, who just drafted Murray. He's 5'9". He can run. He can run like crazy, and he's got probably a Major League Baseball type arm. He was going to maybe even go into baseball instead of football. It came down to the last minute, and he chose football instead. But is he going to be able to hold up? 5'9", as quick as you are, there's a lot of linebackers that are faster than anybody you faced in college, and they are going to be gunning for you. So we'll have to see how he does. They drafted a number one pick before that. Josh Rosen traded him to Miami. So 2 years in a row now, they've had the number one pick, and 2 years in a row, they went with a quarterback. It's a brand new Kingsbury is the new new head coach down there. He's a Texas Tech running Raiders, that run and gun kind of offense, spread offense that'll whip it all over the field, and also your quarterback can run. So we'll see how that plays out. I just don't know how well he's going to be able to hold up in that kind of environment. But that'll be an interesting story. You've got the Giants. I can't even remember which. I think it's Jones, Andrew Jones, or I can't remember his first name, but Jones out of Duke is who they draft. A lot of people said, wow, that's really high for that kid. There's other ones that were out there, including the Ohio State kid that you could have gotten. They seem to be really happy with him so far. Eli Manning is on the decline. And if you even look at Eli Manning, he always has pouty face. He always looks like he's moping. But we'll have to see, how soon does Jones start? Because you don't bring in somebody in the first seven or eight picks and then sit him for 2 years. It worked out great for Aaron Rodgers. He was a late-round first-round pick. He could have been higher. He sat out a couple years behind Favre and everybody else, and that worked great for him. He learned the system. But when you've got that much and you're paying that player that much money and you picked him that high, he's got to be able to get out there and play sooner rather than later. So we'll see how Eli does. Eli didn't have he didn't have anything for an offensive line last year. He was scrambling like crazy back there. When you're 52 years old, or however old Eli is, that's tough to make it that long and do that. Unless you're Tom Brady and you have some weird elixir, you're sold to the devil or Belichick or however you want to call the devil, you're not going to make it that long as a quarterback. I think Drew Brees is about the same. He's always had great weapons around him, and he's able just to dump it off quickly. He doesn't get a lot of pressure on him. Eli Manning, on the other hand, has never had an offensive line, kind of like the Detroit Lions never have, to protect him. And so he gets beat up a lot, and that ages on you very quickly. So it'll be interesting to see how all that NFL news pans out. I can't believe that we're already a month away from the starting of college football. That's coming up. Like we said, we'll talk later about the Bobcats. They start their practices next week for fall practices, and very interesting goings on right now. Our player's going to be there. Is Jabari Johnson on the team or not? That's going to be a huge thing, but we'll talk about that here in a little bit. We'll take a quick break right now, come back with a look at Legion Baseball plus the Bobcats schedule, and how I see, as a fat bald guy, how I see that going through. Once again, you can reach us at 95.9 FM, KGVM.org, or IanLaird3 on the Twitters. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. AC/DC always reminds me of football games, and that is just around the corner. We'll talk about that here in a little bit with the Bobcats getting their schedule going. Once again, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill with countless TVs and specials. Catch all the big games, including the PGA playoffs, located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Their phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. Before we get into the Bobcats, like we just talked about, let's take a look at Legion Baseball. It was a very busy weekend last weekend. We'll start with the Bozeman Bucks AA squad. The squad had a big weekend to round off their season, winning two of the three against the Billings Royals before taking out the Billings Scarlets Monday night. Bozeman took down the Royals 2-0 in the first of the three games. The second game ended with the Bucks on top, was score fest, 12-6, and the final contest, the Bucks fell to the Royals 3-2. Bucks wrapped up conference play with a 7-1 win over the Billings Scarlets to tie Missoula for the best record in the league at 17-7. The Bucks used a well-balanced approach throughout the 24-game conference season, scoring more runs than anybody in the conference and also holding opponents to the fewest runs scored of any of the nine teams in the Montana/Alberta Conference. The Bucks earned the number 2 seed based on a head-to-head record versus Missoula. They just lost a couple weeks ago. We talked about that. That was the backbreaker for the Bucks being in the second seed. The Bucks finished the season at 46-16 overall. They open up the state tournament this Saturday at 4 p.m. versus the Billings Scarlets, the team they just took down in 2 out of 3 games. So the bracket looks pretty much like this. Once again, this is in, let me grab this. This is in Billings coming up. So in the winner's bracket, the first game is at 10 o'clock. Once again, this is Saturday is when it starts, July 27th. The first game at 10 o'clock features number 6 Helena versus number 3 Kalispell. Right at 4 o'clock is the Billings Scarlets then take on the Bozeman Bucks at 4 o'clock. That's game number 2. Game number 3. That's game number 3. Game number 2 is number 8, Great Falls at 1 o'clock versus Missoula. That is game number 2. And then the last game of the day is the Billings Royals versus Lethbridge. So the Hawks, if they win that one, will take on the winner of Helena and Kalispell. They're in the opposite bracket of Missoula, so they won't face them if they make it through until the championship game. So once again, 10 o'clock is the first game, Helena against Capital. The second game is number 8 against number 1, Great Falls versus Missoula, who's the number 1 seed. Number 4, Lethbridge, takes on the Billings Royals at 7 o'clock. And then 4 o'clock on Saturday is the number 2, Bozeman Bucks, facing the Billings Scarlets. It'll also be interesting to see when they pitch Hunter Williams, because you can't pitch him back-to-back. Do you wait for a game and take out the Scarlets with somebody else and then have him play, or do you play him the first game? Hopefully you win that one, then you take on Kalispell, which might be tough. So it'll be interesting how they use Hunter. They want to use Hunter, I'm sure, when they face Missoula. That's the big one in that championship game. That's where they want to use him the most. So I don't really know the rules on how that is. I know there's only a certain amount of innings they can pitch or pitches they can throw. So it'll be interesting to see how the Bucks play with a number 2 seed. They do face some decent competition right off the bat, where Missoula kind of gets to cruise through the first and second rounds before they face anybody decent. So good luck to the Bozeman Buck AA teams over in Billings. If you have a chance to go over there and watch them, I would. They're a great team to watch. They're a lot of fun. Some local flair. Like I said, I grew up actually with Hunter's mom, so she always texts me scores and info if I need it, so thank you very much to her. But good luck to the AA Bucks. Moving to the rest of the Valley. The Southern A tournament was held last week, with both Belgrade and Gallatin Valley Outlaws hoping to make it to the state tournament. Unfortunately, Belgrade Bandits fell short, losing the second time in the tournament to the Dillon Beavers 7-3. Belgrade started the tournament as the number 1 seed and defeated Bozeman Buck A team in the opening round. Gallatin Valley Outlaws came away with the first place, though, in Southern A tournament last weekend, so they'll move on. The Outlaws took down the Livingston Braves in the first contest, 19-2, followed by a victory over the Helena Representatives. That's such a dumb name. 8-2, and the third contest, the Outlaws crushed the Butte Miners, a much better name, 15-5. The Bats were dinging for the Outlaws. They finished the tournament over the Dillon Beavers, because they hadn't lost twice yet, 12-2. So they scored 19 in the first game, 8 in the second game, 15, and then 12. So good luck to anybody that thinks they have a chance going against Outlaws in the state tournament. That state tournament, again, starts this weekend as well. The first day, we have the first game at 9:30 in the morning. First is the Dillon Cubs versus the Vauxhall Spurs. Woo, that is a good name. By the way, this tournament's being played over in Bitterroot in Florence, Montana, home of the Bitterroot Bucks. The second game is at 12 o'clock. That's the Gallatin Valley Outlaws versus the Lewistown Redbirds. Right after that competition, Miles City Mavericks take on the Missoula Valley Mariners. And then Laurel, wrapping up the night, Laurel Dodgers take on the Bitterroot Bucks. So Dillon and Gallatin Valley are the two that come out of the South. Good luck to them. They'll go on to the winners of Game 1. Where are we at here? The bracket isn't as good as the other one was. Winner of Game 1 will play the winner of Game 3. So if the Gallatin Valley Outlaws win, they will play the winner of the Laurel Dodgers Bitterroot Bucks game. So good luck to them as well. Gallatin Valley sure can stick it, so hopefully they can get over there and make something happen. So good luck to the Bucks. Once again, that tournament is in Billings starting on Saturday, and the other tournament starts Saturday as well, so we'll have updates. Check my Twitter page. I'll try to keep that updated with scores as well, as the Florence is the home of the State A tournament, with Gallatin Valley Outlaws again playing the second game of the day at 12 o'clock against the Lewistown Redbirds. We'll take another quick break right now and come back with a look at the football schedule for the Cats. Once again, you can reach me at IanLaird3 on the Twitters. You can listen to us at 95.9 FM on your radio dials or on the interwebs, kgvm.org. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us by radio, 95.9 FM, on the interwebs, kgvm.org, or on the Twitters, at IanLaird3, KGVM Sports. If you want to tell me how terrible my show is, you're more than welcome. Fall camp is just around the corner for the Cats. But before that, let me just mention our sponsor. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all of the big games, including the PGA playoffs. They're located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Their phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. We thank them for their continued support. Hopefully it will last a little longer. Taking a look at the schedule again, fall camp starts next week, which means there's a lot to cover, including who is the quarterback going to be for the Cats. We'll get into that here in the next break. But first, let's take a look at the schedule and how I see it as a fat, bald idiot that played as much as all the way up to and almost through freshman year in high school of football. If you see me now, you wouldn't realize it, but I was the smallest kid back then, about 5'90". My head was so small that I couldn't wear a normal freshman helmet, so I had to wear an eighth grade helmet, which were white, which made me stick out even more. It definitely did not help me get any more playing time, being seen more. It did make the older players try to make my helmet silver by headbutting me as hard as they could with their silver helmets. It did not seem to work. But I still love sports, and that's why we're talking about them here. First game for the Cats is August 31st, so just over a month away. They will face Texas Tech, who's ranked in the top 25 of the FBS. That game is going to be on Fox Sports Southwest and is at 2 o'clock kickoff time. The game after that, September 7th, they'll play Eastern Southeast Missouri, SEMO, at 6 o'clock. That is the Gold Rush game here at home, so that's Saturday night at 6 o'clock, the only night game on the docket for the Cats for home until they make it in the playoffs, and they will, but we'll go over that in a second. So they have an away game first, then home. Next is an away game the 14th of September. They play Western Illinois at 2 o'clock. That game is on ESPN Plus or ESPN 3. September 21st versus Norfolk State. That game's at 1 o'clock. And then they have another home game against Northern Arizona to start the Big Sky play. That's a 1 o'clock game as well. TV to be determined on that, but it'll definitely be on Pluto at least. Then they travel down to Cal Poly for a 6 o'clock game. These are all mountain times, by the way. That one will also be on Pluto. They come home to face Sacramento State October 12th at 2 o'clock. Then they have their opening bye week. They travel to North Dakota the next. That's an 11 o'clock game. Southern Utah at home. That time has not been determined yet. That game's on Root Sports, so that's why it hasn't been determined. They need to figure out when their other games are starting or ending, and we kind of just fit in where we fit in. Then they're at Northern Colorado, which should be a victory. We'll go over there in a second. That will be on Root as well. Time to be determined on that one. They play at UC Davis. That is also to be determined for a time. And versus the Grizzlies, that's normally a noon or 1 o'clock kickoff for the Grizzlies. They have them at home this year. That is on the 23rd. Kind of a late year this year. There's 12 games. So let's break it down from the beginning. Texas Tech, like we said, is the first game. I look at that as a loss for the Cats. I just don't see them being able to go down there. Grab a pen here so I can write these down. Even though Texas Tech has a new coach and all sorts of other things, I just don't see them losing to the Cats there. So I'm going to have the Cats starting out with a loss against Texas Tech. Hopefully I'm wrong on these, but I think that's going to be... The next one's kind of a toss-up game. It is Gold Rush. It's going to be pumped. It'll be the first time we get to see our new quarterback, whoever that might be, going against some of these really, really good FCS teams. Southeast Missouri was a playoff team last year. I'm going to put that down as a win just because we're at home. It is Gold Rush. And it is a night game under the lights that's going to get people amped up. Hopefully it's a huge crowd. It normally is for those Gold Rush games. They're always a blast. At Western Illinois, I'm going to call that a win. I think they're really down. I don't think they're going to be even in the top 25 by the time we play them. The quarterback will have two games, whoever that is. It might be Troy Anderson by then, but I doubt it. Whoever that is will have some games under their belt, so I really think that'll be a win. Norfolk State is a win. They're not that great. Come from a smaller conference. Northern Arizona at home is a win. Cal Poly's kind of a toss-up. That's the first away game after that Western Illinois, after the two home games. Triple option teams are always difficult, but I just don't think that Cal Poly has the firepower after losing some of their bigger players last year that have been around, it seemed like, for 30 years. So I'm going to put that as a win. Sacramento State, it is homecoming. That's going to be a win. We should be able to beat them. The open bye week, I'll put that as a tie. At North Dakota, this is a tough one. North Dakota, this is their last year playing Big Sky teams before they move in to over with North Dakota State and the Missouri Valley. So I'm going to put, just to be on the safe side, that as a, I want to say win. I'm going to put it as a loss because it is a road game. It's in a dome. North Dakota seems to play really, really well at home. We did beat them a couple years ago at home convincingly with Chris Murray. But we'll see how injuries play in, and off of the bye week, if they can get some people healthy. I'm going to put that as a loss for right now. I think that's a very winnable game. It's kind of a toss-up game, but I'll put it as a loss just so I don't look like too much of a homer. Southern Utah at home, that'll be a win. That is on Root Sports. Anytime it's nationally televised, that's a game that the Cats are going to be up for. At Northern Colorado, better be a win. UC Davis will probably be a loss. They are a very, very, very good team. And that's going into right into the Cat Grizz game. So I think that UC Davis game, maybe looking ahead a little bit. You shouldn't have to, because UC Davis is probably going to be ranked in, if they're not the top 10 or the top 5, they'll definitely be right up there with it. They have a pretty easy schedule going in next year. Don't play Eastern Washington, some of those schools. So UC Davis is going to be a tough one. Meyer, if he's healthy, if the quarterback's healthy, that is going to be a huge game for them. So I look at that as a loss for the Cats. Cat Grizz, it's always a toss-up. We've won the last three. It's hard to say. I can't even remember the last time we won four in a row. I wasn't alive, I don't think. The last time that we won four. So I'm never going to pick against the Cats against the Grizz. So I'm going to pick the Cats to win that game. But I think it's going to be really tough. Bobby Hauk is going to be out for blood in that game after losing his first game back as the head coach for the second time, coming into Cat Grizz, having the Cats won three in a row. They're seniors. Olsen and some of those other ones have never beat the Cats. That's not a position a lot of Grizzlies have been in, and the Cats haven't really been in that position either. So if everything's healthy, if Snead is healthy, if whoever our quarterback is going to be is healthy, that should be a very, very good, hard-fought game. I think our defense will prevail at the end. I don't think that everyone's going to be healthy for the Grizzlies by the end. They have a decently tough schedule coming up next year. They play a lot of the top teams, so that's going to wear on them. But it's Cat Grizz. I think it's going to come down to the Cats are probably already going to be in the playoffs by that point, or pretty darn close. But that game, I think, will determine if the Grizzlies get into the playoffs. So that's a little extra motivation for the Grizz. But I'm going to have the Cats winning that one. So I show the Cats at 9-3 on the year. I could see 8-2, or 10-2. I could also see 8-4. But if we can call some of those coin flip games, let's say we beat North Dakota, we might lose one of the other ones. Cats seem to always lose one where it's like, how did we lose that game of all of them? So it'll be interesting to see which one that is. And again, Cat Grizz is always a coin flip. But if you go in at 9-3, let's say you beat North Dakota and you're at 9-2 going into the Grizz game. If you finish 9-3 then by losing to the Grizz, you're still going to be in the playoffs and in good shape. If you go in, though, any lower than that, and it all depends, I think, on the quarterback, which we'll talk about here after the break, it'll be interesting. But that's the way I see it. 9-3, 8-4 on a bad end. 9-3 is kind of the average. 10-2 on an amazing or on a very, very good end. And if we're 11-1 with our only loss to Texas Tech, I'll be shocked. I think the Cats have the chance to do that. They've got a decent schedule that sets up that way. A lot of the away games aren't going to be the toughest. I just can't see us beating UC Davis this year. They're too stacked. Hawkins, though, has never beat the Cats, I don't believe. So there is that. He was the Colorado coach when the Cats took down the Buffaloes down in Boulder. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. So we'll take another quick break right now. Again, my response is I think 9-3 is about where we should be. 8-4 would be meh, okay, but let's step it up. 10-2 I think would be great. 11-1 I think is phenomenal, but kind of dreaming a little bit without knowing who our quarterback is even going to be yet. We'll take another quick break. Once again, you can reach us at kgvm.org. You can listen to us at 95.9 FM on the radio dials, or you can find me on the Twitters at IanLaird3. Once again, this is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us on the radio at 95.9 FM, on the interwebs at kgvm.org, or on my Twitters at IanLaird3. Once again, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill with countless TVs and drink specials. Catch all the live action of all the baseball and PGA playoffs that are coming up, and of course, preseason football coming up here in just a couple weeks leading into college football, one of my favorite times of the year. I can't believe that Sweet Pea is only a couple weeks away. Can't believe that it's a month before football starts. We're going to have some exciting news to announce here in the next couple weeks as well on those regards. We can't say them yet. Very hush-hush so far, but once we get that dialed in, we'll let you know, but it's very exciting. Lots to go on and cover. So far this summer, though, we have been covering the different position battles when it came to the Cats. We've covered the wide receivers, running backs, offensive, defensive line. We did linebackers, safeties, DBs, you name it, leading up to this week, because camp starts next week and we'll have a little more info for you then. But this week, we end with the quarterbacks. The biggest battle in my mind that is out there, the one guess of what's going to happen that the Cats really have for next year going in to the 2019 season to see if they can make it back to the playoffs, maybe even make it farther than the second round, maybe to the quarterfinals or the semifinals. But it's all going to come from the arm of whoever they can find at quarterback. Now, everything that we have heard is that the Paul Bunyan / Superman of the FCS in Troy Andersen is moving to linebacker. He was actually voted the top fullback because, like Choate said, I had to put him on some list. You can't just leave him off of everyone. So we put him at fullback, and that's where they picked him to be All Big Sky preseason player. He was first team as a fullback, which he's never played. He played running back his first year, was rookie of the Big Sky Conference and rookie of the FCS. His second year, he was Big Sky quarterback of the year by the end of it when he played quarterback. This year, I think he has a great chance to be the top linebacker in the Big Sky, which would be three different positions as the number one sport or the number one player in the Big Sky in 3 different years. But we've already talked enough about Troy Anderson. He looks like he is gone, so it's going to come down to 3 different players and how they can play. First one is Tucker Rovig. I think he's the odds-on favorite to get the job as of right now. He played last year before hurting himself. 6'5", 205-pound quarterback, business management major out of Meridian, Idaho. He is a sophomore. We'll take a quick look at his stats from last year. And again, he played against South Dakota State in one of the games, so cut him a little slack there. But passing yards in 2018, he played in 5 games. He was 42 completions on 68 attempts, 2 interceptions, 584 total yards, 4 touchdowns. His long was a 47-yard pass. He completed 62% of his passage, averaged 8.6 yards a pass at 116 yards a game. Again, he only played in 5 games last year. So it'll be interesting to see how he does coming into this. I think that he's the one that everyone's going to be chasing. He also ran the ball 12 times for 26 yards. His long was 11, so an average of 2 yards a run. He is not going to be Troy Anderson back there, folks. He's not going to run the ball a bunch and do all that kind of stuff. He's going to throw it. He's a slinger. He's 6'5", for God's sakes. He's a big boy. So I think he is the heads-on favorite because he played last year, but there's some other kids that are going to challenge him for that, I think, and mainly that is going to be a redshirt freshman that they have coming next year. Let me scroll down. In Casey Bowman. He is a redshirt freshman, bench management as well. He is from Summit, Washington. Again, redshirt freshman, 6'6". So Tucker's 6'5". Casey's 6'6", 225 pounds. So he's a big boy. About an inch taller than Rovig. He looks bigger at 225. Young, has a cannon for an arm. Still, I think, trying to figure out the speed of it. A lot of times in spring practice, he'd step back. He might have guys that would be open, but if he felt any pressure, he'd dump it off real quick to running backs, which isn't a bad thing when you've got Infase and Jones back there to pass it to. Those are some pretty good options. But I think the wide receivers want him, or the coaches want him to throw it to the wide receivers more. The wide receivers need to be involved more this year. They need to have that rhythm. So those are your two up front ones, I think. Behind them, I think the third option is Ruben Beltran. He's more of a runner as well. He's 6 foot, 180-pound redshirt freshman from Peoria, Arizona. He is Universal Studies, so he hasn't figured out what he wants to do, but he's a redshirt freshman. He's allowed to do that. Didn't play last year. Is more of the prototypical two-option quarterback. He's going to run and throw it. He's more of a runner than he is a thrower, I think. At 6 foot, he's a little on the small side, if he's even 6 foot. I talked to his dad once, though, and his dad is all hyped up about him, thinks he's going to be the next star. So hopefully he does come in and push those guys. But I think he's kind of the third one looking in if somebody gets injured. He could have a great fall camp. Again, we don't really know. All of them got a chance when they were in spring ball, but so did Chris Murray, and then he ended up dropping out. So it'll be interesting to see who steps up. I think Rovig has the natural ability to do it. I think Bowman has a better arm. Casey has a better arm than Tucker does. And I think Ruben, we haven't really seen enough out of him so far in spring game that he was at to judge what he's great at or not. I know coming in, everyone said he's a runner. He's super fast, a very quick kid, more of a Chris Murray, Troy Anderson, but shorter and a lot lighter than they are. But we'll have to see how he plays out. But I really think it's between the two big guys that aren't going to be runners. And I'm cool with that. And I think our wide receivers are going to be fine with that. You've got running backs back there that you can use. You've got a ton of them back there you can use. So let them run the ball and do what they need to do. So I think that Rovig will end up being the starter to begin with. I don't think it'll be a really long leash. I think that if he struggles a little bit through a couple games that they'll pull the trigger. I hope that they don't end up having to go back to Troy Andersen as the quarterback. A lot of people think that they'll pull that trigger real quick. I think he's a linebacker, and that's where he's best at. So we'll have to see. But again, that's all coming up here in the next couple of weeks. We'll talk more about that. That's the show for today. Thank you very much for listening. Once again, you can reach us at KGVM.org or on Ian Laird on the Twitters. Play a little AC/DC to get out of here. Hell's Bells, just because that reminds me of every kickoff the Cats have ever done. Enjoy your weekend. Good luck to all the baseball teams out there, and have a great one. Stay cool. Stay cool. What a dumb way to end a show. Thank you all for listening. Good night.